My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
What do you know about the church that Jesus built? What do you know about the church that Peter and James and Paul were all members of in the first century? Is it essential that I understand what the Bible teaches about the church to be saved? We live in a world where people will tell you just simply to choose the church of your choice, and God will be happy with that. Is that really what God teaches? What does the Bible say about Jesus' church? Now, friend, we're not talking about modern denominationalism today, for that's not at all authorized in the Bible. In fact, it's condemned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Paul said, "Let there be no divisions among you." We're asking, what does the Bible say about the church we find in the book of Acts and thereon? And so we begin by studying the nature of the church that Jesus built. There's a blockbuster passage found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, that teaches us clearly about the nature of the church that Jesus built. Notice what Jesus said. The context is, Jesus has just asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah. Then he turned and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "And I say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, on that statement that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus here taught that the church was his, that it was built upon his deity, and that he was the founder of the one church that he promised to build. As we think about the character and the nature of Christ's church, we need to ask the question, who did found the New Testament church? Who founded the church that you read about in the New Testament? In our world today, there are many who have founded their own religious groups and own denominations, many after the time or all after the time of the first century. But who founded the New Testament church? Well, let's notice what Paul said about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul said, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church." He's the founder of it, Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And Paul said, there's no other foundation except that which is already laid. Laid by who? Laid by God. Then Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only foundation and founder of the church today. When Peter spoke to the Jews, who were the religious elite of his day, in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, they had questioned them about a miracle that had been done in Acts chapter 3. They made a lame man to walk. And they asked Peter, "By what authority or by what power have you done these things?" Peter responded by saying, "We've done it by the chief cornerstone, whom you've left out of your spiritual superstructure." He said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Here Peter presents Jesus as that interlocking cornerstone that holds the whole building together. And thus, Jesus is both founder and the foundation of the church. Now, here's where this gets real practical for us. If anyone other than Jesus Christ founded or is the foundation of the religious movement that you're a part of, friend, we kindly say to you today that that is not the church you read about in the New Testament. It's not the church that Jesus is one day going to deliver to the Father, and it's not the church of the members whose names are registered in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 23. Now remember, we've got to do all things by the authority of Jesus, Colossians 3 and verse 17. The Bible says that we are not to go beyond that which is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And John said toward the close of the book of Revelation that we're not to add to nor take away from the Word of God. All that being true, we must make sure that we do exactly what the Bible says concerning the church. Then we ask a second question concerning the nature of the New Testament church. When was the New Testament church founded? At what time in history does the Bible teach us that the New Testament church was going to be founded? Again, we look to God's Word and we find a clear and concise answer on this matter. The prophet Daniel prophesied in the long ago, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, exactly when the Lord's church would be established. Daniel says this, "In the days of those kings The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, and it shall bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Now, we have to understand a little bit about the historical context of Daniel's prophecy. Daniel is having a vision of four kingdoms. There was, at that time, the Babylonian kingdom being the first kingdom. And then there was the Medo-Persian, the Persian kingdom. Following that, history reveals for us that there was the Greek Empire, the Empire of Alexander the Great. And then there was the fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom. No new kingdom was set up during the time of Babylon. No new kingdom was set up during the time of the Medo-Persians. God's people were still under the Old Testament covenant during the time of Alexander the Great. But during the time of that fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom, Jesus came and established His church. We know this, for Jesus said during the time of the Roman kingdom, in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, "Assuredly, I say to you, that there are some of you standing here today who shall not taste death until you see the kingdom present with power." Jesus promised that the kingdom was coming during the time of Roman Empire. Colossians 1, verse 13 says that some, at the present time of the writing of this, during the Roman Empire, had been translated or conveyed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Acts chapter 28, again during the time of the Roman Empire, Paul was preaching the kingdom, verses 30 and 31, as a present reality. And so when was the Lord's church prophesied to be established? Daniel 2, verse 44, during the time of one of those four kingdoms, and we know the only new kingdom, during the time of the fourth kingdom, the only new kingdom that was set up was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the kingdom, for Jesus makes those synonyms, the church and kingdom synonyms, in Mark chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. "I give to you the keys of the kingdom." Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Those two were used synonymously. Now again, we ask the question, when were most modern religious groups founded? At what time period were most modern religious groups that exist today founded? Friend, most were founded at least 1,000 years after the time of Christ. Some were founded a few years earlier. Many were founded a few years later. But most were founded hundreds years after the time of the establishment of the New Testament church. If they weren't established during the time of the Roman Empire, then, my friend, we kindly say that they are not the church that you read about in the New Testament. Unless it was founded during the time the Bible prophesied of, then it's not the church that Jesus promised to build. Then there's a third question to consider. Where does the Bible say that the New Testament church was going to be founded at? We've noticed who founded it. We noticed when it was founded. But where? Where does the Bible say the New Testament church was going to be founded at? What location on the earth was it to be founded at? Isaiah helps us with this. In the prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Notice what Isaiah here says. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, shall be lifted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths.'" Now notice now, "For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Isaiah is here predicting that God's house is going to be established. Now, he can't be talking about the Old Testament house found in the time of Israel, for it was already established. What is he talking about? 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, "The church of the living God, the house of God, temple and pillar and ground of truth." And so he here says that the word of the Lord is going to go forth from Zion and out of Jerusalem. That's where the church was promised to be set up at. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, same identical prophecy, teaches this same thing. Jesus' church was going to be established and founded in Jerusalem during the time of the Roman kingdom. Did that happen? Yes, we open our Bible up to Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up with the 11, begins to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He's given the benefit of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak in tongues to those people. As a result, he brings his sermon to a climax by noting that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, whom they crucified. People are told they need to repent and be baptized to obey God's will. And verse 47 says this, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Was the church that you read about in the New Testament established in Jerusalem? Absolutely. Now, friend, we ask again, when were most religious groups that were founded today? Where were they founded at? Most were founded in either England or in the Americas, maybe in Rome or someplace like that. Most were not founded, or all were not founded, in Jerusalem. They were founded in other places. Now, if the Bible says that the church you read about in the New Testament was going to be established by the word of the Lord being preached in Jerusalem, then I need to be a part of the church that was also established in Jerusalem. If I'm not, then I'm not a part of the church that you read about in the New Testament. A fourth question we might ask of the New Testament church is, what names does the New Testament church wear? What names does God authorize His church wearing? Now, someone says, well, is a name really that important? We think names are important. How many people do you know that would name their child Judas or Adolf or their daughter Jezebel? We think that names are important in our own time today. We wouldn't like it if our wife, when we got married, took some other man's name. Why not? Because that's my wife. I want her to carry my name. We understand the importance of names today. Jesus built His church, and there are biblical names that we must call it by. A God-given name is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Notice what Paul here says. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Churches of Christ. The Church of Christ is a biblical name. Paul is talking about the kind of greeting that they are already accustomed to, the kind of greeting of kissing, and he says here, make it holy. And then he says, the churches of Christ. Many congregations or different congregations existing in the large town of Rome. Paul says, the churches of Christ greet you. Does that name give honor to Christ and to God? You bet it does. The Bible also calls the church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, there are other descriptive terms that describe Christ's church. For example, Paul said, I write, though I'm delayed, I hope to come to you shortly, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 through 29, it's called the church of the firstborn, the general assembly. It's referred to as God's church. And so these names must give God the glory. Remember, we have to do only that which is written in the Bible. If that be the case, I want you to think real seriously about this. If it's the case that we cannot go beyond the words and pages of the Bible, how could you be a part of modern denomination today? If they're not found in the Bible, and the Bible says, do not go beyond that which is written, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, do not add to or take away, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, how could you be a part of a religious group whose name you don't find in the Bible? For example, if you were to take the Bible to some people who had never heard of the Restoration Movement or the Reformation Movement, who didn't know anything about modern denominationalism, and you said, this word is from God. We want you to read it and study it. And if they did that, what religious group would they be a part of? Well, they couldn't be a part of modern groups today because they're not in the Bible. And they have no history of them. They would just simply be a part of the church that Jesus founded in the first century. And that's the exact point. If we're going to follow what the Bible says, then we need to do things in Bible ways and call ourselves by Bible names or Bible descriptions.